Look directly toward the parking lot. The closest tree across the lawn, where the grass gives way to dirt, was in the center of a colonial road running left to right. If this is the house location, the gate would be within your view near the modern lawn edge in 1781. Caldwell is a well-known patriot or Whig, not only because he is an outspoken advocate from his pulpits for independence, but he had served in the 1776 convention in Halifax that created North Carolina's first state constitution. There was an additional incentive for militia and redcoat scouts to seek out Reverend Caldwell. Cornwallis put a 200-pound bounty on his head, today worth around $37,000. Caldwell built a shack on North Buffalo Creek, 2 miles from here, to use as a hideout whenever Tories came looking for him. The stream running through the modern Bicentennial Gardens to the south feeds into Buffalo Creek, so named because wild buffalo still roamed the region when Europeans first arrived. In fall 1780, a rider shows up at the door seeking a rest stop, Carruthers reports. He is carrying letters from General George Washington to the Continental Commander in the south. Rachel tells him she will feed him, but he should sleep elsewhere because she is under constant harassment by Tories. Sure enough, the food is barely out before Loyalist militia or part-time soldiers show up, apparently having heard of the stranger's arrival. Rachel quickly ushers the courier out the back door and tells him to hide in a nearby thickly leaved but thorny locust tree, perhaps to your left or behind you. The Tories surround the house. Once they are done searching, he climbs down the far side of the trunk and escapes. Contrary to some sources, the British Army did not approach and leave the Battle of Guilford Courthouse on the nearby road, much less camp here before the battle. See our Battle of New Garden page for the actual route. But detachments roamed the area foraging and seeking out Patriot leaders with Tory help. Carruthers says a domestic servant is working in the yard on Saturday, March 11, 1781. Likely enslaved, her name is lost to history. The servant hears a commotion in the distance and stands on the fence to see the cause. Soon after, a group of militia soldiers arrive at the gate. They ask her to get the landlady, claiming to be patriots seeking David's medical help. Militia on both sides wore everyday clothes, not uniforms. What this band doesn't know is what she had seen in the distance from the fence, the red coats of some regular British soldiers traveling with them. Either this party was loyalist militiamen or redcoats in borrowed clothing. Rachel comes out to greet them, but the servant manages to warn her. The soldiers repeat their request. Rachel says she must check on a child, goes back in the house, and warns visiting Patriot neighbors. They escape out the back door while she goes back to the gate. The soldiers announce they are taking over the house. Given that the main army was miles away, this suggests the men were probably Tory militia, though it could have been a British detachment. Over her protests, they invade the house and either order or allow her and her 8 children to move to the smokehouse. Carruthers picks up the story. There passed a day with no other food than a few dried peaches and apples, till a physician interposed and procured for her a bed, some provisions, and a few cooking utensils. The family remained in the smokehouse 2 days and nights, their distress being frequently insulted by profane and brutal language. To a young officer who came to the door for the purpose of taunting the helpless mother by ridiculing her countrymen, whom he termed rebels and cowards, Mrs. Caldwell replied, "Wait and see what the Lord will do for us." "If he intends to do anything," pertly rejoined the military fop, "'tis time he had begun." When she asks a soldier for protection, she is told she could expect no favors, for that the women were as great rebels as the men. After remaining 2 days, the army took their departure from the ravaged plantation, on which they had destroyed everything. But before leaving Dr. Caldwell's house, the officer in command gave orders that his library and papers should be burned. A fire was kindled in the large oven in the yard, and books which could not at that time be replaced, and valuable manuscripts which had cost the study and labor of years, were carried out by the soldiers, armful after armful, and ruthlessly committed to the flames. Not even the family Bible was spared, and the house, as well as plantation, was left pillaged and desolate. Presumably, the stolen goods were taken to Cornwallis's army, now camped at Deep River Meeting House, a day's march to the southwest. 2 days later, the Battle of Guilford Courthouse was fought a few miles directly north, easily heard from here. Rachel apparently spent the day in prayer with women of the Buffalo Creek congregation in one of their homes. After the battle, David helped tend to the wounded. There is a monument to him on the battlefield. Scroll down to the audio clip under Close Call.